Angie Austin and Mike Opelka. Better for you than a whole box of sugar-coated unicorns.
It is the Angie Austin and Mike Opelka program. Angie and I are talking with my friend Judith Regan, the publisher extraordinaire. She's published all kinds of books, but she also is the face that you saw sitting across from O.J. Simpson in the special that really should have been out, as Judith highlighted, almost 12 years ago. Judith, when you were sitting there across from O.J. Simpson in 2006, and you started asking those questions, did you ever get a feeling of, oh my God, he really is confessing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the minute I started, you know, talking about Nicole, you could just see his emotion and his anger, and he was kind of seething, and he immediately started blaming her for everything.
Oh, dear.
And this, of course, if anyone knows anything about wife batterers, is typical. You know, his characterization of himself as the victim in almost every story is very, very typical of this kind of, you know, intimate partner abuse, as it's called. He blames her repeatedly throughout the interview. He blames her in death. He blames her. He goes to the cemetery and screams at her. This was one of the more bone-chilling moments in the interview that just blew my mind. He screams at her, "Didn't I tell you? You know, why didn't you listen to me?" And basically, you know, "I'm never going to be able to change her now, and I'm not going to be able to affect her now," because the mindset of a batterer, and in this case a murderer, I believe, is all about control, intimidation, you know, and owning that person. That person is an object to them. And all of his conversation about her, I think, for anyone who is in the world of dealing with domestic violence, whether they're people who work in domestic violence centers, or if it's a woman or a man out there, and it's mainly women who are the victims of this, take a look at this interview and see the kind of language he uses, because this is absolutely textbook. And sadly and tragically typical.
Textbook. We're going to hear a clip in a minute, Judith. I just want to say one thing. I was so touched on Sunday night watching the interview, because there was a woman that spoke with, that was her friend, talking about what kind of mother Nicole was and how she wanted to see her kids raised. I grew up in a household with domestic violence. My father was a drinker. My mother left him when I was 12 because she felt he would kill her the next time and there would be no one to raise us kids. I grew up in the bedroom next to them and would hear when he would drink and he would abuse my mother. I was the only girl with all the boys, and I got to be like a witness every night to the beatings. And so my brother around that same time was stabbed to death. He was in his 30s. He was found outside. Then I'm working on the assignment desk at NBC. I have to, so I'm there the day that, of course, the bodies were found, real raw for me around that time of my brother's death as well. And then I have to launch the chopper because I keep getting calls that OJ's been spotted, but they're like, he's getting ice cream. Oh, he's in Southern, you know, he's in Orange County. And then all these calls. And then I get one, I hear the scanner traffic in the background, and I realize it's really him on the highway. And so I was really ensconced in that story like you were at the time. So when I heard that woman the other night with you on the panel, when you were just watching this interview for the first time, and she started to cry talking about Nicole raising her kids and how she would have loved to have seen them raised, that really got to me. And then all of my feelings about how unjust this story was, and you're right, he is textbook. I take full responsibility, Judith, but it was her fault. Judith, I take full responsibility. I won't deny that I abused her, but she started it. Judith, I take full responsibility, but really, she started everything.
It's all, in his mind, it's all her fault. Even after he murdered her, he was angry at her that he couldn't abuse her anymore and, quote, change her.
And control her.
You know, for people who have been through this, who've been victims of it, and the children are victims of this, you know, the visceral reaction to that interview is dramatic because you're re-traumatized when you see and listen to a man like this. You're revisiting, I'm sure, your own abuse, because if you're in a home, you're a child, and you're in a home where your father is battering your mother, it is terrorizing you. And so you must have had, Angie, a horrible visceral reaction to him just watching him in the interview.
Well, and I had the feeling you said you felt that he had done it. And what was it like for you on Sunday? You know, when we saw the interview, that was the first time you said you saw it. What was that experience like with, like, her really good friend and with people there commenting, like Chris Darden?
Well, first of all, I love Chris Darden. I think that he was very badly treated.
Yes, he was.
Throughout this whole ordeal. I think it took a major toll on him, on his health, on his emotions. I think the entire experience for him was traumatic, because he's a guy, although we're all flawed, and I'm sure Christopher Darden has his own flaws, as do I, this is a man who really cared, who's really principled, who, even though I published his book, which is called In Contempt, many, many years ago, and we always had a wonderful relationship, when he heard that I had interviewed OJ and the way the story was spun back in 2006, he went on television and condemned me. Why? Because he really didn't know, and he was so appalled at what he was hearing that he stood up for what he thought was the truth at the time, which I admired him for. I mean, he probably should have called me, but it's fine, because I admired the fact that even though we had a great relationship, and even though, you know, he had a wonderful experience publishing his book, which is a wonderful book, he immediately went to the side of what he thought was the right thing to do. When he saw for the first time the interview that I did right in that room, and you see it on television, there was silence, by the way, at that moment. And there was a long bit of silence because he was traumatized by it. And
yeah.
He said, there it is. That's his confession. And the glove did fit, by the way, because mm-hmm. he talks about in the interview, O.J. Simpson talks about, you know, the glove, I must have thrown the glove there, or whatever he said. And after all this time, that's vindication for Chris Darden as well, because he was called an Uncle Tom. He was excoriated, and he took it all personally. And this was a young lawyer who didn't deserve the vitriolic rage that was expressed against him. And he's had to live with that for years. So for me, I hope that, and it, of course it never does, but I hope that that interview shows people, this is the face of a batterer, and in this case, a murderer. This is the mindset of a batterer, and in this case, a murderer. The victims include not just the families, but his own children,
mm-hmm.
and they never get mentioned. They never get mentioned.
No.
You know, I always feel like he left Justin and Sydney in the house with their mother brutally murdered on the steps of that house.
Mm-hmm.
And what were they going to do? Wake up? If the dog hadn't barked, if someone hadn't discovered them, they would have woken up, walked out of the house, and seen this horrific scene.
He didn't care.
And when the police called him in Chicago, did he say, where are my children? Are my children okay? Did he think about his children? Did he say what happened? No. You know, the man has zero empathy, zero regard for anyone but himself, is a malignant narcissist, and is a horrifying monster.
Judith Regan, I'm just always in awe and appreciative of your perspective on these things. In the 40 seconds or so I've got remaining, what else do we need to know, and where do we find you going forward?
Well, I'm starting a new podcast on Westwood One. Which is going to launch in the next couple of weeks. Regan Arts is my website for my publishing. And my final thoughts are, you know, I know a lot of people were traumatized, including, it sounds like, you, Angie, and me.
Yeah.
But just watching him and being in his presence was just brutal for everyone in that room. But I hope that at least when you view that, you have an understanding of what these men are like, and you have greater compassion for their victims. And I hope that people who are in situations that are dangerous like this get the help that they need, because it's always, you're in greater danger when you try to leave people like this, when you try to leave men like this, when they're usually the most violent. So I think that people should, if they're in a situation like this, contact, you know, local domestic violence organizations, get the help that you need, and get away from them.
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you, Judith.
We really appreciate it.